This morning we concluded our study of neutral H, or that happiness which is derived from adherence to the laws of establishment. Somebody asked me after class, and I think that it would be wise to reiterate the difference between minus H and neutral H. As a matter of fact, the question was actually, what is the major difference? The major difference is that minus H is a satanic counterfeit to distract you from ever getting with a biblical program. You see, minus H is everything that Satan does to dissuade you from going down the path of God's plan. And it can be appealing, it can be pleasurable, it isn't lasting, and unfortunately, it has absolutely no value whatever for the believer in their advancement in the Christian life. Now, as far as neutral H is concerned, and I was just thinking of this a few moments ago, that the people who generally are unhappy in neutral H are unhappy because they are people dependent. In other words, the happiness that comes out of neutral H, or neutral happiness, depends upon other people. And unfortunately, one of the things that must be adhered to under the people response is authority. And you'll find that these people who are the victims of neutral H are, well, they just don't want to heed or obey or become a part of authority orientation, and so that even intensifies their unhappiness. It's amazing the wells of despair that we dig for ourselves. It's amazing the pits, the traps that we continually get ourselves involved in simply because of the fact that we try everything conceivable to be happy, and we don't go to the source of happiness. That is the true source of happiness. Satan can make you happy for a little while. Matter of fact, I understand there's a movie that has just come out where Satan is in charge of a place where you can buy whatever your heart's desire is. Unfortunately, the price that you have to pay, as far as I can tell, has far-reaching ramifications. I suppose it involves your life. Well, that's not very far off what minus H is all about. Minus H is where you seek happiness in every other area frantically instead of going God's way. And some people learn very early in their Christian life because they're teachable. They're pliable. They are those who are humble. They are those who are authority-oriented. They are teachable so that as soon as they learn that their way doesn't work, they have to go somewhere else and be taught. In other words, show me. I'm not happy. Show me how to be happy. See, I didn't have any problem with this because when I came into the Christian life, I thought I was happy. And I found out soon after I got in, I wasn't a happy person at all. In a lot of respects, I was carrying a lot of the weight of my childhood. I had a lot of hang-ups, a lot of difficulties. Mother and father divorced when I was 5, taken from my parents and put into a military institution at 6. Then thrown with this one or that one or whoever. I didn't even know who my parents were for a while. And all of that, you see, is brought in and has to be resolved. Well, God's Word resolved it. And the beauty of this is that you can have a perfect happiness that God has provided for all believers. He has designed that happiness, regardless of your past. Regardless of your circumstances. It is not people dependent. Hey, if you rely on people for your happiness, you are going to be one miserable person the rest of your life. Because you're not going to come in contact with people that are always as happy as you would like them to be. And the one thing you may even attempt to do is change them. And you're going to have to learn very early in life, you can't change people. You just can't. Only God can, and His Word. You can't. A husband that tries to change his wife, a wife that tries to change the husband, doesn't work. The only thing that it causes is misery, complaints, arguments, discord, the lack of harmony, unhappiness. Now, I began this study I suppose it's a month or so now, by asking you the question, what makes you happy? Is it because you possess things? Is it because you have? Is it because the people do your bidding or they do what you want them to do? That's not happiness. That's simply manipulating people so that they are somehow forcibly doing what you would like them to do. Some of the most unhappy women that I have ever met were women who tried to manipulate their husbands, didn't like what they saw after they got married, because they didn't know what they were getting into when they got married. And so they said, well, I'll change him. And at least what attracted them to that individual, they changed. And it was no longer there. And the woman ended up hating the very person that she successfully changed. She made him into a wimp. And then eventually the man got to the point where he said he'd refuse to be that way, and it caused nothing but discord. And these women were unhappy. And I had to deal with it all the time. God doesn't want that for you, doesn't want that for me. He has a happiness which is unsurpassed. And He's willing to give it to whoever. The prerequisite number one is that you are born again of the Spirit of God. That sets it up. You see, the one thing that the unbeliever can never have is plus H. He can never share the happiness of God. The best the unbeliever can have is neutral H. And that's only temporary. It's people dependent. It's circumstantially dependent. It's environmentally dependent. See, some of you still have that infantile idea that if you were somewhere else, you'd be happy. No! Look, when unhappy people go elsewhere, they take their unhappiness with them. You cannot escape yourself. Of course, that's nothing new. You've heard that this morning. You heard it last Sunday evening. You'll hear it again probably next Sunday morning. I assure you, you'll not hear it next Sunday evening. Not for me, at least. Because I won't be teaching next Sunday evening. Bob will. That's when we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. So, what is neutral happiness? It's dependent happiness. It's always dependent on something. And you know, the one thing that marks adulthood is an air of independency. The one thing that marks maturity is the ability of an individual to do without depending upon others. Some of you are still hanging, as it were, onto the breast of society. Some of you are still suckling at the lives of other people. And you know, that may be a marvelous description of a young child, an infant, as it's nurtured and cared for by its mother. But the best description for an adult is a leech. Because that's what they do. Leeches attach themselves. And then when they're filled with the blood of their victim, they drop off, filled, like ticks. You ever meet a person that's like a tick? And I didn't suggest to you they have ticks. They're like one. A tick is not a very pretty insect. It's not a pretty creature. It's an ugly-looking thing. And I know occasionally when we had Omar, our large dog, He used to come into the house and he'd have them on him. And I'd have to take a candle or something that was hot and place it next to it so that it would drop off. Because they bury themselves into the flesh of their victim. Leeches are the same. We have the leeches of society. It's awful to characterize the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has had everything given to him at the moment of salvation, as the leech of society, living off, as it were, the lives of other people. See, you begin to mature when you live your life yourself and under volitional responsibility, take responsibility for the decisions that you make in life, including the bad ones. See, my problem has always been I've never had anyone I could slough it off on. I always had to be responsible for my decisions. I put myself in that position. You know why? Because I didn't feed off other people. You won't be happy doing that. Because you see, when you get old and you're still people dependent, you're the most unhappy old person. And to me, old age really should be one of the greatest joys. Look at all that experience. Look at all those years. Look at all that learning. And then, of course, the day closer to the reality of face-to-face with the Lord. But you see some old people, they're miserable. They're pitiful. They're painful. Because they've never learned the basic, simple principle in life. You're responsible for what you do. And your happiness is not based on other people. Now, Satan can sell you a bill of goods. And he will, every time. See, all he's interested in doing is distracting you from the main essential of your life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is getting with the doctrinal program. It's all he's interested in. Because you're dangerous, you see. Remember I said this a few weeks ago. Every one of you men in this auditorium are potentially as lethal in the hands of the Spirit of God as the Apostle Paul. And every woman in this auditorium could be as lethal in the hands of the Spirit of God as Lydia. And some of the great women, Phoebe, and the other greats of the New Testament. Just as lethal. But Satan says, come, let us reason together. You don't want to get involved in that. Look at the pleasure that I can give you. And I wish I could, I've got it. The name of the business is called Needful Things. And apparently Satan is able to, in this movie, as you walk in, anything you ever desired that was your area of extravagance would be made available. Like if you were a baseball fan and you were collecting cards, you could get an actual mint copy of the rookie year of Mickey Mantle. Now, for some of you, that's meaningless. But if you're a baseball collector, if you collect cards and you could get an uncirculated, or if you're one who collected stamps, you could get a block of those, I think it's 1911 stamps with the airplanes upside down. Was it 1904? A block, a mint block. But Satan says, and it's not expensive. You can have whatever you want, but it will cost you something. Come on, let's deal.
And you see, you're captivated by the fact that this is your area of extravagance. This is something that you cannot turn from. And Satan has a file on you like he does on everybody else, especially on you as a believer. And he says, let's see, Jones, Frank, Holy Roller. Okay. Yeah, I know. Area of extravagance. Pool tables. Carousing. Wheeling around. Wheeling and dealing. Nah, it's serious. It's got everything documented. From the point of your salvation, he began a file. And you know, we feel insulted when we hear that our government is keeping files on certain people in this country. We feel insulted that our privacy has been intruded upon. How dare they do that? And yet we think nothing of the fact that our arch enemy, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of darkness, has a file on us that would put the CIA and all of the government files to shame. Because he knows every detail of that which will distract us. And he'll set up the circumstances. You know, some of you must think that your lives are so exciting and the others are so dull. And that isn't the case at all. The ones that you think that are so exciting are more than likely, if you're looking at it from the human viewpoint, are more than likely being led by all of Satan's devices, and the ones that you think are dull are the ones that know what Satan's devices are and are simply running through, as it were, an obstacle course of life and avoiding all of these pitfalls. I find myself over the years, and the more and more I learn from God's Word, of certain things to totally avoid. It's just like flashing red lights. It's like bells ringing at a crossroads. Well, I mean, a railroad crossing. Hey, when you see those two things come down and hear you bing, 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 you assume something. But some of you are so stupid. God will put up the ding, 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 dings and drop down the bars and so on. And you'll walk right through it. And then you're unhappy because you got run over by a 200-ton train. In life, of course. Some people are constantly being squashed. And they don't even play the game. That was a pun and you missed it, but that's okay. Carl got it. The rest of you going, huh? Is that like a pumpkin? Yeah, it's like a pumpkin. Some of you go through life being munched all the time. Every time you turn around, you're walking into the proverbial wall of life. And you haven't learned yet. God doesn't intend that for you. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this marvelous doctrine called sharing the happiness of God. And it's not something we've made up. Jesus said, if you keep my mandates, then my joy will be what? Will be filled up in you. How would you like to have the joy of Jesus Christ in you? Yeah, I'd like that. Well, you can't do it under the dictates of minus H. You can't do it by just simply obeying the laws of the land. That gives you at least some relative happiness. You've got to do it God's way. And I haven't found any other way yet. protocol. It's exactness of procedure. So neutral H, as we found out this morning, is actually dependent happiness. And perfect happiness is independent happiness. Independent of what? Independent of others. You don't need others. Now that doesn't say that you divorce yourself from others, or that you become antagonistic or a recluse. That's not what I'm suggesting. It's just that your happiness is not dependent upon others. I guess I could make it easier if I said it this way. If you're around people, you're still happy. If you're not around people, you're still happy. Why? Because your happiness is not dependent. It's independent. How are you when you're alone? What do you think when you're alone? What goes through that thing you call a brain? What wheels and deals are going on in there? What scheming? What plotting? What's your ideology of life? What's your desire? What do you want to do? What's your goals? I've talked to some of our young people, you know, and they vacillate. And rightfully so. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a nurse. I want to be a secretary. I want to be a housewife. I want to be an airline pilot. I want to be a stewardess. Whatever. That's today. And tomorrow, I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be that, I want to be that. And until that person actually gets into what they want, they're not really going to be satisfied in whatever career field they find themselves. Right? We understand that. And with young people, it takes some time. But it's the same way with the plan of God. There's got to be a point in one's life when you decide it's either going to be my way or God's way. And if it's not going to be God's way, give up! Don't waste your time. Be honest with yourself for the first time in your life and say, hey, I'm going to live my life my way, and God can lead his life his way, and nary the twain shall meet. Say, but I don't want to do that. I'm afraid to do that. Why? You're doing it anyway. You'll find, by the way, and I know I can speak for others in this auditorium, that no believer has ever accomplished great things in the plan of God without having come to that decision in their life. Somewhere, sometime, they say, not me, but you. Not my will, but thine. I'm through. Now, you can call that the second blessing all you want. It's not a second blessing at all. It's just simply a decision that should characterize the rest of your life. Why is it, for example, that we have two definite types of people at Westside Bible? Now, I'm not going to divide the assembly down the middle, but we have two definite types of believers. One, those that are totally and absolutely dedicated in the sense that they've said at least somewhere in the past, God, it's your way. I've tried it my way, and I know it doesn't work. I want your happiness, and I'm not going to get your happiness if I'm doing everything that brings me unhappiness. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Every so often people say to me, well, I haven't had much of an education. Damn it, you don't need an education for that. What kind of an education do you need to be able to decide that God's way is better than yours? And I don't care whether you're a deacon or a prep school teacher, whatever you are, you will never be effective in the Christian life until you've decided it's God's way as opposed to my way. Then on the other hand, we have my way. And I hope it doesn't take you 30 years to learn. Or worse of all, be ushered out into eternity and find out that your whole life was just one stupid waste. And here's what God had for you. Now, I didn't say that when you go God's way, everything's going to be a bed of roses. I didn't say that at all. Look at the ministry of our Lord. But the thing you got to remember, listen carefully, listen to this statement. Irrespective of any of his circumstantial and environmental, he was always happy. Our Lord was never unhappy. Ever. Never sinned either. Why? Because he was totally under the control of God the Holy Spirit. Constantly, from his birth. Constantly. And then he said, and I'm sure this was outlined and planned in eternity past as a part of the decrees. He said, you know, my royal family, my bride, are not going to be able to cut it on their own. Look at Israel. And God the Father would say something like this. Yeah, I know. Well, you know what's going to preserve me? You're going to protect me with this surrounding enveloped power. And let's make it available to my bride. Now you say, well, how do you know that conversation? I don't. I'm trying to hyperbolize. A hyperbole is a statement of exaggerance so that you would understand the principle. Yeah, let's give them the same power. Let's make available to them the same thing that's going to secure me during my earthly ministry. All right? Okay, so at the ascension, when you leave, when you come back to be with me, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Lord Jesus never mentioned anything about this, did he? Of course he did. If I leave, I will send you another what? Comforter. He will teach you all things. And then Paul repeatedly, in the power of the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. We haven't caught it yet. So this is available. So there are two types of people. Two types of believers that make up Westside Bible. Those that understand they can only do it in the power of the Spirit. And they're going to be buffeted and they're going to be accused and they're going to have problems. But inside, they're going to be happy people. Because it is not circumstantial, environment, or people dependent. Hey, look, I got to tell you this. My wife and I have gotten to the point in our relationship, not with each other, but with other people, that we no longer are people dependent for our happiness. Because if that were the case, are you listening to me? We would not be very happy people. That's the problem with people dependence. See, it's great if you think you're going to be happy, but the only problem is there are unhappy people out there. And you can't avoid them. They're looking for us all the time. Oh, there's a happy person. Let's make their life miserable. Hey, never mind they're being out there. We got some of them in here. You can always tell a pastor who is no longer people dependent. He's been there for 25 years. You say, you've been here 25 years. Well, now, if you are people dependent as a pastor of a church, what a miserable experience. And when I first came here, you know, the deacons would say something and I'd take it to heart and I'd go home and, oh man, I was one miserable creature. Now I just go home and I'm miserable, but it's not because of them. It's because of me. There's a difference. You're not going to get this, but most of you don't affect me one way or the other. And it's not because I've become cold and calloused or that I've become stoic in my approach in life. No, I found out a long time ago that people can't make you happy. And if they do, it's only temporary. And then you say to yourself, how long will this last? And then comes the disappointment. Right? Come on! Oh, you haven't learned it yet. Say, I don't know what I'm going to do without so-and-so. My whole life is wrapped up in so-and-so. Oh, please, don't tell me that. Because so-and-so is going to end up a so-and-so. Your life should not be wrapped up in any human being. Your life should be wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you want to know how to be happy. That's what our subject is. Sharing the happiness of God. And some of you don't look very happy tonight. You don't. I don't know what's hurting you. But if you haven't gotten with this program, no wonder you're unhappy. Now, for what it's worth, I've talked to some of you. I know some of you intimately. And I know that some of you understand exactly what I'm talking about because you've already gotten there. You're already in that dependency on God for your happiness and an independency from Homo sapien. And you're just having a blast in the Christian life. I know it because it spills over. And it's almost like we have a secret code, you know. There are organizations, for example, that when they meet each other, they shake hands a certain way. You know, and they're supposed to, well, they don't do that exactly, but I'm not sure exactly how they do it, but they do it a certain way, and the person says, oh, you're a member of the, And when you're around believers like that, there's an affinity. There's something that draws you together. Because you see, you're not dependent upon each other. And you can be totally relaxed around each other. You know, I wondered for years what it was that caused some believers to be totally relaxed around other believers. It was because they were around relaxed believers. But what was it that made them relaxed? Is that they were dependent upon the doctrine within their soul for their happiness and not each other. You realize that a lot of what I'm teaching you tonight has taken me over 35 years of ministry to develop. I didn't wake up one morning and say, I think I've got it. No. But I don't think some of you got it. And there's one thing standing in your way. You know what it is? Choice. It's yours to make, not mine. Boy, I wish I could make it for you. Mm-hmm. I wish there was a way in which I could, you know, if this was some special mystical Zappo thing, you know, zippy, zippy thing, and I could walk up to you and just kind of stick it a little bit in your ear and go, right? Say, ring, ring, yeah, wow, yes, I'm dedicated. You know, hey, wouldn't that be great? Can't do it. Cannot coerce the human will. Cannot intrude into your mind. All I can do is suggest.
But I'll tell you, you'll never know happiness. You'll never know happiness until you begin to share the happiness of God. And that takes doctrinal residence in your soul. And that means Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Why is it that some people come Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and when they don't, they get the tape? Some of you can be gone for months. Well, it's not a priority. Some of you are here, but you're not here. Your mind is somewhere else. And the only reason you're here is because somebody told you to get in the car or they break your face. You're a child. You're an offspring of one of our elite that understands the priority. The children don't have a volition until they're by themselves. They have volition, but the exercise thereof in total independence. I never ask my kids if they want to go to Bible class. Never. Because you know what? They would have said no. That wasn't a great priority in their life, you understand, as they were growing up. You say, how come? Because they're kids. And so their mother would just simply say to them, you better get ready, we're going. And they never said, where are we going? They always knew where we were going. And back when they were growing up, I taught Bible class every night. Now, there were exceptions to the rule, obviously, when they had school functions or something that was an absolute necessity. There was no problem. But see, that's all right. I have no problem with that either. You know, occasionally even Kurt calls me and says, I'm not going to be there tonight. I'm here working. I'll be here until midnight. And I don't say, Miss Bible class, huh, chairman of the board? No, I understand that. But I also understand that the first opportunity he gets, he's in that tape room getting that tape that he missed. And so he hasn't missed a thing. But some of you are still in Satan's storehouse. Hey, what's... Whoa, look at that. Man, I've been looking for one of those all my life. And he says, come on, let's deal. Here's what it's going to cost you. Okay. You see, no lazy-minded person can ever share the happiness of God. Your mind has to be sharp. It has to be working. It has to be going. And it has to say, in effect, this is the priority for my life, and I'm going to do it and stick to it. I'm going to keep hammering at you until you get it, okay? And I'll either do one of two things. I will either hammer it into your soul, or I'll hammer the nails in your coffin, one or the other. It all depends on you. You see, the fact that I see its importance, and Bob sees the importance, and Kurt sees the importance, and a few others here see the importance, is not important to you until you see its importance. For the most part, there are those here who have made that ultimate, willful decision in their own minds. I've tried it. It doesn't work. And you're not defeated. Because the Lord says, I'll show you a better way. A far, far better way. More exceedingly, abundantly than you can even ask or hope for. Why? Because I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those that love him. And you say, There's either two responses to that this evening. There's no middle ground. Listen to it. One will say, yes. And the other's going to say, don't give me that. Either you believe it or you don't. It's simple enough. It's like salvation. You're either saved or you're not. Either God is number one in your life or he isn't. Simple enough. All I want you to do is admit it to yourself and quit playing the game. And frankly, wasting your time. Just go out like the prodigal and get into Satan's world and have Satan's blast and end up with zero in eternity. So you had 50, 60 years on earth of pleasure, and you end up with nothing forever. So you haven't even given me a choice. I have. Say, well, I don't like the choice. That's too bad. The only choice you have. Either go God's way or otherwise. It's either him or yourself. Is there anyone here really that thinks that they can do it better than God? Huh? See me afterwards, will you? I want to know what your formula is. What's your secret? What potion do you drink? Honestly, if there's a better way and I've missed it, please tell me. I know my way is not better than God's way. I've already decided that, but you may have a better way than God's way. I may have missed something in the translation. See me afterwards. But you'd better be good. Because I don't want any cheap substitutes. I know what I got. You see, the beauty of this whole thing is you can live as a mature believer, you can die as a mature believer. And when you die as a mature believer, what an impact you've already had on society. Hey, people, when we leave this earth, when we're gone, do you want people just to say, who? Well, so-and-so, you know so-and-so, he died. Oh, I don't think I know him. Well, you did know him. You were, oh, yeah, well, no loss. Or really, can it be said that when you're gone, the world lost something? Father, thank you that we can make an impact. We can have historically an impact on society. Not because of ourselves, because of thy word living in and through us. It's our decision to make. Dismiss us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. See you Tuesday.